Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Previously on Keep It Simple.
The emphasis in terms of the book, Breaking the Hex, you know, is Mitch's subtitle, Life with God After the Cross Killed Religion, about, and that comes from the book of Galatians, by the way. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 is where that phrase comes from. In the Message paraphrase, Paul says, "Who is, you crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you?" NIV says, "Who has bewitched you?" And so it's the idea of trying to combine human effort with God's grace to try to make it happen in the Christian life, whether it's individuals or as a body of believers together. Either way, I think the kind of the dynamic's the same. But Roger and I came from, you know, a similar mindset. We came out of Bible college. We were all gung-ho. We're going to save the world. We're going to work hard. We're going to be committed. We're going to be good disciples. We're going to do whatever it takes and try to do something great for God. And that sounds good and can be entirely sincere, but it really does not, we're convinced, does not produce the fruit of Christ in our life. And so we've come to a place where that is much more of what New Testament talks about, a place of rest, and talks about in Hebrews and other places, and by grace of Christ living in us. So rather than trying to do something for Jesus, or do something for God, it's a matter of what God is doing and has done for us through Christ and is doing. One of the ways we separate it or define it is it's the difference between us doing something for God or what God does something for us.
All right, welcome back. This is Keep It Simple podcast, and today Jeff Fields is joining us again. We're going to continue our discussion, go round two, talk a little bit more about his book, Breaking the Hex, Life with God After the Cross Killed Religion, book he wrote recently with his brother, and that book's available now on Amazon.com, also at BreakingTheHex.com. Jeff, thanks for coming back and joining us for kind of a round two of this discussion.
Very good. Thanks, Kim.
So I remember we were at a meeting together one time, and you said something that really I thought it kind of caught my attention, because it's something that we talk about on this podcast. I've talked about a lot, but just the idea of discipleship. And mm-hmm. you had talked about how I think your comment, and you may remember, it was something that just of that I think a lot of what we pass for discipleship today is really it's sort of in the line with adding to the good news and creating the, I mean, explain that.
That's one of the areas of the book that's, we think there's various areas in the book that are unique that you don't read other places. This is like, might be one of them. Roger and I are pretty much convinced that the term discipleship has morphed into something beyond what scripture really talks about. We have the, Jesus obviously had his disciples, and he talks about, if someone wants to be his disciple. And in the book of Acts, we see the term disciples. But in the book of Acts, disciple is synonymous with a believer or part of the family of God. In our day, we've tended to make a disciple of kind of a higher level of Christian or higher level of believer. And the term, after the book of Acts, we never again see the word disciple or discipleship in the New Testament. In all the letters that Paul wrote to believers, John wrote to believers, Peter wrote to believers, James wrote his letter, we never see the term disciple or discipleship. They talk about saints, to the saints at Ephesus or whatever. The phrase that is used all the time is in Christ. And so we think the term, the emphasis on discipleship often is a little bit of a Trojan horse for performance of trying to, this hex type of thing, of trying to combine our own performance in doing stuff for God as opposed to Him living His life through us. And so so we are a little bit unique in that, in our views on that. The for the verse that's often called the Great Commission. You know, it's interesting to us that, you know, while we're all for, you know, sharing our faith with others and looking for opportunities for that, yeah, I think that can also really be turned into a kind of a legalistic means of a something that I can do to feel better for God, something I can do to feel like I'm performing. And it's interesting to me that, you know, none of the epistles, does Paul or any of the others, ever talk about that. You never see him encourage the Ephesians or Philippians or Corinthians or whoever, okay, don't forget, you all got to be out there making disciples. It's never talked about. You know, Jesus gave that one instruction to that group of 11. Judas was out of the picture at that point. So it's obviously we are to, you know, talk to others about our faith. I mean, it's just going to be a natural thing. Always be ready to give an answer.
Would you say that making disciples is something that all believers are doing, or that's part of what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Christ, that's something that the church as the body of Christ is doing? Or how would you frame that?
What Jesus said, I mentioned, you know, the verse, a new commandment I give you is love one another as I have loved you. In that same context, he said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples in that you have love one for another. So I think as we know that we're loved, and as we allow that, the love that Christ has for us in our hearts, as we allow that love to spill out to one another,
yeah,
then I think people will recognize, okay, this comes from someplace else. This is not the way the world normally operates.
Yeah.
And I think that will end up having an impact. So I think we probably do a better job making disciples when we don't focus on making disciples.
Yeah.
That sounds true. You know, I think that'll just be a natural byproduct.
You know, this is something, and I wrestle with this a lot because I do believe that, you know, discipleship, and I totally resonate with you, where it seems like it's anytime, like, you just, there's these words that become buzzwords, and you almost, it's like church. I get so frustrated with it. It's like I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like they were talking about these words, and maybe it was even you and me talking about it, but I'm like, man, I'm sick and tired of people taking all the, oh, I know what it was. We were talking about the word evangelical, and it was like, well, now that's like a bad word. And it's like, well, why is it bad? It's because people get on these words and they change the meaning on you, you know, and they make them into something that it's not. And now it's like, well, I'm all the time having to change my words because somebody somewhere, and I think it's the principalities and power to take all these words and change them, whether it be church, disciple, evangelical or whatever. It's like, oh man, you can't hardly keep up with it. But, oh, I lost my train of thought, but I got sidetracked there. But I think what I wrestle with is, I do not want to, I long to help people grow in their faith and learn this love. Is this something that happens? I'm thinking in my own life. I think I have grown and I am growing, and actually recently, and honestly, you know, because of a lot of the conversations you have been very helpful, encouraging me, whether you know it or not, but just, do we arrive at this? Is it possible to arrive at this without some level of setting out to do things, maybe even for the wrong reason? You understand what I'm saying? Like, when you become, like, you and I have spent years, you arrived at this by doing, you set out, you've learned the love of the Father. Mm-hmm. Some of that was just that, well, I don't maybe know the love of the Father, but I know He says for me to, you know, be active in, you know, I read the scripture, it says be active in sharing my faith. So I'm going to go out and stand on this corner and share my faith with people today. Maybe not that's exactly what God meant by that, but people do these things, and maybe it's even with the wrong motives. But is there a shortcut, or is there a natural process where we all, as we grow in our faith, we have to kind of learn, we learn the love of the Father as we sort of squander His possessions, in a sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's definitely a process. And, you know, we can certainly trust, I think, the Holy Spirit and the nudge of God in our heart to get us back on course when we're off. Let me say this too. I don't feel like we have everything completely figured out. So it's not like, you know, it's not like we have discovered every aspect of the truth and we know it, and now, you know, it's our job to straighten everyone else. I'm sure we're still off in areas, and we just So we're just kind of sharing our own experience of areas where we think where we feel like God has brought us, and where we think we've been kind of off course in the past at times. But, you know, I don't go into each day or go as a main part of my life, okay, I've got to make disciples today or this year. I do go into days and years, okay, God, how would you have me love those around me? And not love and just a wishy-washy, anything goes type of, you know, watered down type of, you know, all roads lead to God type of love, but a genuine biblical love that seeks to meet the needs of others. And I certainly have a long way to grow in this area. I can still be pretty self-centered at times. But I think that is a good focus to have. And that's the gist of the epistles. I mean, the instructions that Paul gave to the church. And, you know, Paul obviously handpicked by Jesus Christ to be the one to take the message to the Gentiles. You know, after he talks about the doctrine and who we are in Christ, you know, most of the epistles boils down to just treating one another decent and getting along with one another. And, you know, how many times have we seen people all, you know, believers that can't get along with one another, and even missionaries a lot of times. One of the main reasons missionaries come back is they couldn't get along with other missionaries. And so so I think that is more what our focus. And I think Christ will build his church, and I think he will draw people. You know, it's the cross that draws people to God. And so I think a lot more happens as we rest in who he is in us, who we are in him, than me trying to do something out of a sense of an obligation or trying to follow a written command type of thing. So.
Let me get a little more in practical, just in my own, just maybe a listener might be thinking this sort of a question. Let's say you're living life with God after the cross killed religion as the subtitle of the book. And this is, you know, God, the journey God has you on. Let's say somebody comes in your office here today, or you bump into someone here at your office, and you have the real sense that not only are they hurting or looking for God, but that they're the kind of person that's, I mean, they're a person of peace in a sense. Like they're even relating to you in such a way, or coming to you, or conversing with you, where you kind of get the sense like, man, this person is someone that God is working in their life, and God's put you in their path, and you have that sense that this is an opportunity for me to share my faith and to share Christ with this person and to help them find Christ and walk with him and begin a relationship with him. How does that look for you when that happens, or has that happened, or is there an example, or what does that look like, you know? And I'm thinking even in terms of like someone who could listen to me saying, well, I mean, if you tell them, hey, if they sit down and you have this conversation, they're like, hey, I mean, are you saying to them, you know, why don't you start reading your Bible? Is that putting something on them? Yeah. Is that putting a law on them? Yeah. Or in my mind, you know, it's like, I think, how could that possibly be a bad thing? Would you say it's a bad thing? No. Or how would you help that person begin walking with Christ?
Yeah, that's another good question. You know, I would encourage someone in terms of reading the Bible, but that honestly, that would not be the very first thing. I don't see, you know, that a lot of times what we default to is kind of the main thing. There's a chapter in a book called God Is Not a Book.
Yeah.
And I think we subconsciously end up steering people more to, now I know this is going to sound heretical to some people, and you know, we believe in the inspiration of Scripture, we believe in all that. But we can emphasize the Scripture more than we emphasize the one about whom the Scripture testifies.
Amen.
And so I would want, in talking to a person like that, I would talk to them about an incredible Father in heaven and what happened at the cross, and encourage them to engage God directly. I think a lot of times we make mistakes in talking to new believers, or we inadvertently place a mediator between them and God. And I think sometimes we do them no favor by, as soon as someone comes to a knowledge of Christ and in a sense of being part of the family of God, we heap on this, okay, now you've got to learn this mountain of information, and you got to start growing, and you got to do all this. And it ends up very counterproductive. Rather than just, you know, enjoy God as your Father and trust in Him to produce in you what He wants to produce in His time. Yes, Scripture is an invaluable guide to help us to stay on the course and direct us back to Christ, and other believers, you know, can help us make sure we're not getting off course. But eventually, you know, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, who, if the Spirit's been working in that person's heart, to continue to work in that person's heart. Mm-hmm. And to trust the Holy Spirit, Jesus, you know, Jesus is the shepherd, not me. So I don't want them to get too dependent on me. I don't want them to get too dependent on any particular author or any particular congregation. I don't want them to get too dependent on, you know, their own intellect and understanding Scripture. Although, you know, obviously it's important to understand Scripture, and we should study the Scripture, and I do. But that can never replace the voice of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And, you know, Jesus looked at the Pharisees, you know, John 5, I think it is, said, you know, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have life. Well, you know, that doesn't sound bad. Okay, isn't life in the Scriptures? You know, well, he said, you know, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have life. But then he said, you know, these Scriptures testify of me, and they completely missed him. Mm-hmm. And so, so Scripture certainly has a place in the life of any believer, in a new believer, and would encourage that, but not to replace the role of the relationship that they have with God. It struck me years ago when I read that many of the early believers were illiterate, and I'm sure there's a lot of believers in the world today that are illiterate in other countries.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how do you grow as a Christian if you're illiterate? I thought the only way to grow was by doing all these Bible studies. Well,
you know, that's something we've talked about here a lot. I mean, a default for simple church people getting started, if you left to their own things without thinking these things through, we end up doing Bible study. House church becomes a Bible study. Okay, this week we're, you know, and that again has a place. And you try to explain this to people. Well, you know, maybe this week in simple church or your house church meeting, you're not going to open the Bible. And that sounds almost heretical. Yeah. It's like, well, maybe God has something else. And I really appreciate what you're saying. I feel like it has a lot to do with, and that scenario that I just painted, man, wouldn't that be awesome if that happened all the time, right? Like, most of the time, there's not necessarily just people walking up saying, you know, help me follow Jesus.
I need help. Right.
Man, but I do, I pray that does happen for us often and more and more. But I do think, in my opinion, I feel it has a lot to do with relationship. And I'm always intrigued by this idea that, you know, Christ is in me, He is in you. And there's also this sense in which, like, I'm not going to just send you away and say, go get to know Jesus, and basically, again, send you off into a corner by yourself. That there is something that happens in my life, at least, and most folks I know, they have gotten to know Christ as it's not been this isolated event. There has been this sense of relationship with other believers and the body of Christ and the church and these sorts of things that have all contributed to Christ making Himself real and known to that person as they begin to walk with Him. And so, you know, for me, I feel like a lot of times what I'm trying to do and help other people to think through, well, what would it look like for you to have a Christ-centered friendship with someone, whether it be someone who said they were a Christian their whole life or someone who you're a neighbor who's not even interested in Christ right now? What would it look like? What does that look like for you to have a loving friendship with this person that Christ, where Christ is a part of that? And I don't know.
I can give you an example. A few years ago, a mutual friend of ours put me in touch with an individual. I had never met him before, but he said that, you know, this man just needs a friend. And so we started meeting. And it's been 3 or 4 years ago, if not five, I don't know, at McDonald's on Sunday mornings, just me and him. And there for a while, we met every week. And he has so many difficulties and challenges in his life, tossed from foster home to foster home when he was growing up and pretty much out entirely on his own at age, I forget, 14 or 15, actually hopped a railroad, empty railroad car to another city and just was on his own from that age and has had an extremely difficult, rough life, still has various challenges. We meet now, it's more like once a month or so. But, you know, and so, you know, he's just become a friend. to me. And his life is very different than mine. You know, we don't really move in the same circles very much at all, probably. But I've encouraged him. I don't want to supplant the role of the Holy Spirit in his heart. You know, so I've encouraged him as much as possible and talked to him about, and I share different scriptures with him about what was done for him in the cross and how much, you know, the Father in heaven loves him just the way he is. And I'm not putting, you know, I'm not putting him on any regimen of you need to do this or this and all that. And I'm just be a friend to him. And I guess you'd have to ask him kind of what.
Yeah.
I think he would say it's made a big difference in his life.
Yeah. I think the one thing, you know, I also believe is that, and this is where we, you know, and I've heard you talk this too, but listening to the Holy Spirit is so important, and like learning to know His voice, God's voice in all this, and how, because some people, you know, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like sometimes I've met with folks, and there's quite a difference between telling someone whom you meet, hey, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and read the Gospel of John 10 times and answer these questions and then read this book about it, and then that's what's going to help you, you know, versus like the person who's sitting there and they're saying to us, man, I don't know the Bible. Like, I would really like to know the Bible more to be able to say, well, hey, I know. I would love to read the Gospel of John with you. Mm-hmm. If we read it once, why don't we read it 10 times? You know, there is a natural flow in being confident in that, because I think, and I know this isn't your heart. I don't think we want to be making people feel so paranoid that they're going to mess this up, that they are paralyzed from even sharing what they know with someone or encouraging someone in the way they were encouraged to grow in their faith that helped them and got them to the place where they are. And we don't need to be worried about that.
Right. I mean, bottom line is we're to love one another.
Yeah.
So we show them love, whatever. And then each of us ask God, how would you have me love them today?
Yeah.
And then, and so, or for the new believer, you know, okay, you know, ask God, who, you know, ask your Father, how much scripture does he want you reading right now? And make sure they realize, okay, there's no obligation in this. It's not, you know, you're totally loved and accepted the way you are. But there's always a tendency for us to want to supplant the role of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And a verse that really jumped out at me, I read it in another book a few years ago, it's just such a simple verse in John 10 where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
You know, that is so simple. You know, he didn't say, my mature sheep hear my voice, or my committed sheep hear my voice. He didn't say, some of my sheep hear my voice, or my sheep might hear my voice. Point blank, my sheep hear my voice. So we hear his voice.
Yeah.
Now, we may not always, I think most of the time we just don't recognize his voice. And little nudges in our heart that we think are just our own brain are actually God leading us in a way.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, scripture keeps us from getting too far off course, and other believers help us in that area. But they can't replace the role of God's Spirit in our life.
Absolutely, and that's been a theme verse of mine over the last few years that, I kind of grew up thinking a lot of times that people who heard God talk to them were kind of weird, you know. And we all know stories of people who, by declaring God told me to do this, did something crazy.
Yeah.
And I think there's a natural tendency in a lot, at least in me, as a skeptic, naturally a skeptical person, to kind of dismiss even the notion that maybe God wants to speak to me, and that He can, I can learn to hear His voice. You know, as I pray, as I walk down the street, as I'm laying in bed, as I'm reading the Bible, as I'm listening to, you know, everywhere I am, that I have the ability to hear His voice. You know, that's been a pretty revolutionary thing to me, and it almost sounds. I remember Felicity Dale, who I know she came to our conference one year and said the number one thing that, you know, really, that we do is learn to listen to His voice, you know, and that's really from there it flows. But that can be a challenging and task. It involves spending time with God and learning. It's not something you just wake up and know, and you get it wrong, and there's freedom to get it wrong. And
yeah, Galatians 3 talks about the hearing of faith. That's how we started, so we're to continue that way. And I'll almost never use the phrase, you know, God told me this or God told me that. I will use the phrase, well, I think God was leading me this way. So sometimes we don't know till after the fact, and we look back and say, okay, yeah, that was God leading. And sometimes, no, that was just Jeff doing his thing. That wasn't God. And so I'm a little suspicious when someone just, you know, point blank, you know, God told me this and all that. Well, maybe he did, but I'm not sure, you know, you really knew it at the time.
Yeah.
And maybe looking back, you know, when I made a big step when I resigned from the full-time pastor position. You know, I think God led us in that way. I still, to this day, wouldn't say God told me.
Yeah.
I think he probably did, but I, you know.
I think sometimes we say that. I think, we've been all guilty, but I think it's sometimes we say that to other people to qualify. It makes us seem. It's actually a prideful thing to say.
Yeah.
It can be a way that we can kind of say, now you better really pay attention to what I'm about to say or do because I'm going to tell you God told me to do this or say this.
You're going to tell me not to, and God told me.
Yeah,
to do,
rather than just having the faith to act or be obedient in the way that we, if we feel the Lord's leading, it's just having the confidence. It's, you know, like, hey, I'm inviting you out to lunch today. I don't need to qualify that with I was praying this morning and God told me to invite you out to lunch today. If I really believe that, maybe, I'm not sure, I can just invite you to lunch, you know?
and all this, too, stems from a foundation of I am already totally loved and accepted. I'm not going to get any more acceptable to God or please. He's not going to think any better of me if I learn to hear his voice perfectly and all that.
Yeah,
it's just we tend to try to get things that we already have and try to become someone we already are.
Yeah.
And so to whatever degree that we do grow in living this out and walking in this, we're the same person we were before.
Yeah.
You know, we're in Christ. Christ is our life. You know, we're in him. He's our identity now. So whether if I get better at living this stuff out day to day, that doesn't improve on that at all. I'm complete. Colossians says you're complete in Christ. And so when you come to that point, you rest and you realize, okay, I'm already across the finish line in terms of that. I can't. You know, in the eyes of God and who I am, I'm already there. And you can rest in that and rejoice in that. And then let him live that out in us as he prompts us.
I think it's a good place to rest this conversation.
All right.
So thank you. You know, it's good to have you back talking a little bit about discipleship. Jeff and his brother have written the book, Breaking the Hex, Life with God After the Cross Killed Religion. And we've been having a great discussion today, just talking a little bit about, practically speaking, what does that look like? How do we help other people? What does discipleship look like? And how have we messed that idea up even? And just really appreciate your thoughts. And maybe Jeff shared something today that sort of you've got more questions about, or you'd like to ask him more questions. You can get a hold of him on Facebook. The Breaking the Hex is on Facebook. There's a page with that. There's also the website, or you can contact him by email, fieldsbrothers@breakingthehex.com, and the website, breakingthehex.com. You can get a hold of all of them on there. As you always, you can get a hold of myself, GavinDuerson@gmail.com. SimpleChurchAlliance.com is our website. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Gavin.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at KeepItSimplePodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.